Good morning. Now you can hear me on Zoom. Good morning, brothers and sisters who are here in the church and, well, in the building and who are on Zoom. It's good to be back with you. I remember that last time we worshiped together and we looked in the Word together, we were in 1 Peter chapter 2. So now we're in chapter 4. So it's been quite some time, but we move along in this episode that we are both studying, both yourselves and ourselves in the evening, and we learn so much about essential things for daily living as Christians, as believers. So what I'd like us to do now is I'd like to move on with this study in 1 Peter. So I understand that you've finished chapter 3, so now we're starting chapter 4. I'd like to read a few verses. I don't know, do you stand up for the reading? You sit, that's fine. We are looking at 1 Peter 4, and I will be reading verses 1 to 6. So if you can follow up with me, I'll be reading from New International Version. People have different versions, but this is the one I'll be using to read. And we read the scripture like this. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regards to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit. Amen. Can we all spend a few moments to pray that this word of God is useful, lucrative, and beneficial for all of us? So pray for yourself. Pray for the person who sits next to you here, maybe at home, if you're not alone as well. Pray for myself as well, so that we can have a blessed time in the Word this morning. Father, we give thanks that we can spend another morning in fellowship with our brothers and sisters and with the Holy Spirit. And we have worshiped you, and we have brought glory to your name through songs and through giving. And now we want to do the same through listening to your word, through opening our minds and our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Everybody is in different situations, in different seasons of life, in different struggles and fights, as we have heard earlier this morning. So we ask, Lord, that this morning we learn to take on the attitude of Jesus Christ. Please show us how and where we need to implement in our life. So please bless us with an understanding of the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've gone through more than half of the epistle, the first epistle of Peter. So you've looked at the certainty of salvation in chapter 1. We are elected by God. Then Peter is encouraging us to commit our life to God in chapter 2. And then how does that translate into everyday life? Chapter 3 and 4 encourages us to live for righteousness, not for evil, not for bad deeds. So something that I've noticed in this epistle is that there's a constant pendulum between Christ as the example and the believer who ought to take this example into everyday life. So we are moving forward. We're making one more step forward in trying to understand how we do this, how we copy, how we imitate this example to Jesus Christ into our daily life. And as we've heard earlier, Phyllis talking about mental health and issues with young children and teenagers, I think this message might be a good encouragement that there can be an end to these sort of issues. So we look at this epistle and we see that it's addressed to people who have chosen a different attitude. They have chosen a different destination. They're headed towards a different destination. They choose different things from everybody around them. And they choose to implement them, to do them in their lives so much that they're ready to suffer for doing these things different, even to the point of losing their own lives. Now, this is possible when the faith in Jesus Christ overspills in every aspect of your life. It's no good talking that you have faith. It's no good talking that you believe in God if this does not impact your daily life. But when it does impact your daily life, you are ready to go to the point of suffering. And this is the context in which these believers to whom Peter addresses the letter found themselves. They believe in God, in Jesus Christ. They choose him. They change their lives based on this belief. And they are ready to suffer, even lose their lives, if they must, for Jesus Christ. So, for this reason, there is something like a fulcrum in this passage. We find it in verse 3. And I think this is the point on which the whole idea of the passage balances. Verse 3 says, "For you have spent enough time in the past." Enough. The old you is in the past, but that's enough. There comes a point where you say enough, and there starts a new you. This is the title of the message today. Enough. And we will learn a bit more today, this morning, what Peter calls us to do so that this enough can be enacted. Basically, there are four aspects that Peter calls the scattered believers to say enough to. First is enough with narcissism. Peter says, die to yourself. Verse 1, enough with selfishness. Embrace God's will for you. Verse 2, enough with the past. Make your sinful past history, and enough with aimlessness. Be an example of a living gospel. These are the four things we're going to be looking at today. Four aspects in which we're called to say enough today. Now, I appreciate that we're all in different seasons of life, and some things may apply to others, but may not apply to some. But this is what the passage says that we should look at. So let's look at this. Enough with narcissism. Die with yourself. Now, for a true Christian, a true believer will always face opposition, will always face mocking. And in a world that is heading towards sin, towards destruction, we cannot expect as true believers to face anything else but opposition. Why? Because a Christian, a believer who has chosen to live according to a different standard, will expose the sinful nature or the sinful desires of the world, headed embracing sin. So, how can then you as a believer manage opposition and persecution and mocking? Well, Peter says very clearly, arm yourselves with Christ's attitude. He begins the chapter by saying, look at Christ. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, since we have this example, we ought to look at the example. So arm yourself with Christ's attitude. Look at his attitude and imitate it in your life. What is Christ's attitude? He left heaven. He embraced a human nature like our own, and he came to serve. So then what are we to do? We ought to die to ourselves, and we ought to live similar to Christ. He lived a righteous life. He lived a pure life. And for it, he was mocked. He was opposed. He was beaten. He was killed. Because his message didn't resonate with the normally accepted, socially accepted, or religiously even accepted message in his time. Was it easy for him to suffer in human body? No, it wasn't. He even says in Mark 26, verse 53, in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" It would have been the easy way. But that is not what he was here to do, because he wasn't motivated by a narcissistic attitude. That would have been totally focused upon himself, to be good for him, satisfactory for him in that body. But his attitude was different. His mind was different. He followed a totally different mindset. Therefore, you follow his example, says Peter. Imitate our Lord. You will be at war with the desires of the flesh, with the sinful nature, yes, but there is a weapon against this. In this war, there is a weapon, Christ's attitude. Self-denial and fulfillment of the divine plan through sacrifice. Now, naturally, it's difficult to deny ourselves. It's very hard to deny ourselves. On the contrary, we wish to seek pleasure and satisfaction, don't we? Everybody wants to feel good, to be satisfied, to be fulfilled in some way or another. However, Christ denied himself in order to fulfill the plan, the divine plan. And the verse 1 goes on to say, he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So what does this attitude then change? What does this provoke in our lives to be done with sin? Whoever suffers for Christ has died towards the sinful desires. The more these sinful desires are left aside, are pushed aside, the more of Christ we can put in that place, we can replace with. Romans chapter 6, Paul echoes this, and it says, verses 6 to 8, and then verse 11, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God and Jesus Christ." Now, when you look at yourself and you see yourself, as Paul says, dead to sin, but alive to God and Christ Jesus, then you see an indication that you have taken on the attitude of Christ, the mindset of Christ. So this morning, I echo what Peter says, and I call you to follow a different calling, to have a different attitude. If the attitude you've had so far is not doing you any good, is not making you better, is not making you more pleasing to God, then clearly this morning it's time to say, enough, I need a new attitude. I need to follow a different example. And then Peter goes on with the second verse, and obviously second idea in this morning. Enough with selfishness. Embrace God's will for you. Verse 2 says, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, notice here two opposites. In this verse, two opposites. Human desires and the will of God. These are contradictory. They oppose one another. You cannot have human desires and the will of God functioning together. What are the human desires? Well, people desire what? They desire houses. They desire money. They desire foods and drinks. They desire pleasures, sex, recognition. They desire parties, stimulants, fun. Now, not all this is bad. Naturally, it's good to desire a house in which to live, sufficient money with which to support yourself and provide for the family, isn't it? It's a good thing to wish to have money, food to put on your table and to nourish the body. But a sinful desire will transform these natural needs into something that will conflict with God's will. So when these desires are taken out of the big picture of God's will for us, they turn into sinful desires. So God's will for Christ was not one in which he would indulge himself in questionable matters, was it? Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you what I have heard from my Father. God's will for Christ was that in the earthly years, he would follow 100% God's will, not other sinful desires for his human body. In the same way, consequently, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, God's will is the same thing, that we ought to focus on it 100%, not on the sinful desires. Verse 2 says something here. He does not live the rest of his earthly life, making a reference here to a set period of time, which is the years that Jesus will have lived on the earth. Now, my question is, what sort of an example would have Jesus Christ been if after his death and resurrection, he would have decided to go AWOL? Father, I've done the work. It's completed. Now, I've got some issues of my own that I need to sort out. I've got some pleasures that I need to seek because I've noticed that on this earth, there's some good things you can do. So now my mission is complete. I want to engage in some of these desires. I want to experience them. What example would have Jesus been for us if he had done that? So then, if we are believers of Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, and we have a, like the verse says, a rest of his early life. There is a rest to our earthly life that we have to live on this earth. How are we to live it? What are we to engage in? Following his example, we are to engage in following God's will, embracing God's will for the rest of our lives. And again, Paul echoes this in Romans 14, verse 8. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So when we look at our lives as lives belonging to God, there is no way in which we can say they belong to God, there's a will of God, I'm just going to go AWOL. Because we've already looked at the first point, first verse, we follow his attitude, we follow his example. We cannot go astray from that. And Peter moves on, and we also move on with the third point and the third verse. Enough with the past. Make your past history. Now, it's worthy to note at this point that some people are haunted by their past. And if you are one of these, this will be particularly specific to you, but there's hope, there's encouragement. Now, nobody can change their past until they admit there is a problem. Once you admit there's a problem, then you can find a solution. But in order to do this, you must be able to say enough. Enough. Up to this point, enough. And that's what Peter says in verse 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing all these things. You must be able to recognize that this past is your past. It belongs to you. It's what happened to you. It's what you have done, but it's your past. It's a past in which you sinned against God, but because you were preoccupied with your own desires, you didn't have the attitude of Christ. It happened to you. You lived it. It's yours, but it's there. It's in the past. So today, say enough, enough of that. Make this past of yours history. Do not choose, do not let the door open so that you could repeat this past even today. Make it history. Winston Churchill was saying that those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Let us not repeat history, our old history. Let us not bring our past into present. And that's what Peter says. It's enough that you've spent in the past. So the believer, that's me and you, must not look to satisfy the desires of the sinful nature. Must not look to satisfy the sins, but must choose to leave the past in the past and make it history. So what Peter does now in this verse, he identifies primarily six sins. And I'd like us to go through them because it might be helpful for somebody to realize the step they're in. Maybe something that they're fighting against at this time. Debauchery, filth, indecency, shamelessness. This means living a life with no shame for anything that you do. Thoughts and deeds that are evil and uncontrolled. Now, maybe such a person years ago or a while ago, when they sinned, they felt shame and they felt guilt. It was a secret in their life. They didn't tell anyone. But the more they did it, the more often it became present, and it got to the point where it now is shouted out with no trace of shame over what's happening. It's a pride about what we can do, which are such sins identified in the Bible: parties, drunkenness, fornication, shameful acts, arguments, envy, indecency, carnality, excess eating, sexual immorality. If you are described here, then today is the day when you say enough. Enough of this. Lust, Peter goes on to say, desires, longings, strong passions, sins. Lure is so attractive and so powerful that you cannot resist it. It's not enough just one time. So you do it again and again and again. The passion of this is too strong for you. You cannot say enough. But today, Peter, and I call you to say enough, enough of lust in my life. If you identify this in your life today, say enough. Drunkenness, alcohol in excess, but it can also be extended to include tobacco, drugs, any other substances that have the effect to numb your feelings, numb yourself, because you've taken excess of it into your body, into your system. What this will do, it will weaken the limits of your morality. So, if there are things in your life that will enhance your body pleasures, but numb your moral compass, Today is the day to say, enough, enough of this. Orgies obviously refers to behavior in excess for all the desires of the body, but primarily the sexual ones. And Peter, in his second epistle, gives a very good description of these people. 2 Peter verse 2, chapter 2, verse 13, 14. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. There are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. An accursed brood. If this is something that exists in your life, today you must say enough. Carousing, the activity of drinking alcohol and enjoying oneself with others in a noisy, lively way. Maybe you, as well as I, have heard these people carousing on a late Friday or Saturday night on the streets. Romans 13:13 says, let us behave decently. Let us follow a different attitude. Let us follow a different example. It says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. So if today carousing is a reality in your life, it's time to say enough. And the last sin that Peter identifies in this passage is detestable idolatry, which is idol worship. What is idol worship? Idol worship is to dedicate your time, your attention, your resources to something, to anything else but God. That makes the thing, the action, that which you're giving yourself to, it makes it an idol for you. Now, there are physical idols, like we know, they could be carvings or images made up of wood and stone and iron and gold and so on and so forth. But there are also immaterial idols. They could be ideological idols, an ideology that you subscribe to, that you support with all your efforts and all your time. They could be an identity. They could be an orientation of whatever nature in your life. It could be an idol that you are worshiping. If there is something in our lives today that is first place above God, then today is the day to say enough. Enough. Peter says, be fed up with this life of sin. Enough. Sufficient until today. Yes, you've been wretched. You've lived a wicked life, but that's your past. Leave this past in the past. Make it a history so it stays there. Do not repeat the acts of the past, but rather look ahead to a new perspective that God has offered you. You have turned to God. You died with Christ and you rose to life with Christ. So now Christ lives in you, not your past lives in you again. It's a different life. So today I call you to say enough. Today I call you to say, I am a new person in Christ. I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a new woman in Christ. I am a son of God, and I will not go back to the one I was before I met Jesus. Enough of that. Enough with your past. So what happens when you say enough? Something very interesting happens. Verse 4 goes on to say, they think it's strange. Why do they think it's strange? Because you've said enough. So when you've said enough, you appreciate that what's happened has happened, but it stays there. You're no longer willing to take it on from the past into the present. So this makes an impact onto the people around. Like we've just heard with the prayer, a neighbor can say, That's strange, beautifully strange. So we move on now with the passage, and we move on to the fourth verse. They think it's strange that you do not plunge yourselves with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And verse 6 is very poignant here. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live to God in regard to the spirit. And the final point that Peter calls us to say enough to is enough with aimlessness. Enough with aimlessness. Be an example of a living gospel. They think it's strange, says verse 4. What do they think is strange about? About the fact that you've said enough. That you have accepted the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Yes, it's true. Because you've done this, now you cast a light on their sinful desires, on their sinful nature, and they will heap abuse on you. We mentioned this idea in the beginning of the message today. But in this way, the gospel is a testimony to everybody, to all the people. You live the gospel as an example because you say enough. So what happens then? We go on to verse 5 where it says, they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And this is an important aspect. There is an important aspect here. People who live a life of sin think either that God doesn't exist, or if he exists, they can take him on a one-to-one. They can put him down if they want to. They can tell him off. It doesn't work this way. It doesn't work this way. The truth is that God sits on a throne, and the day comes when he will come as a supreme judge and judge the living and the dead. But until that day, they will have a constant daily testimony through the lives of us, your lives, your life, my life, because we've said enough. So when God will come to judge them, he will then point, you've had an example there. You've had an example there. You've had a word from your colleague or from your neighbor or from this member of your family. They were there in your midst with a different attitude, with a different example, with a different standard, with everything in their lives that was different. It was showing the wickedness in your hearts and in your lives. I was proving to you that this is wrong through the example of somebody who lived a righteous life. Verse 6 speaks of judgment for the deeds done in the body, for the deeds done as a way of life. It's amazing how much nowadays this way of life is so much touted in our society. Everything's a way of life. Sexual identity is a way of life. Financial identity is a way of life. Career is a way of life. Type of family is a way of life. Everything's a way of life. What happens with this way of life? Whatever we do in this way of life impacts the soul, which will carry on after this life. So then we go back to what verse 1 says, for the remainder of his earthly life, he did not choose to do whatever his sinful desires. He didn't choose sinful desires. So then it's very important that a life spent doing sinful desires will impact the afterlife, the eternal life, the soul. So then how do we choose to live our life? How do we choose to live the rest of the number of the years we have on this earth? Because this will impact on the eternal life. So in our testimony, we must speak with words. We must use words, but these words must be accompanied by deeds that will perfectly match the words that we say. We cannot just say words and then do sinful actions. They must match our words. Proper actions must accompany this message. So the true believers who have already finished their journey on this earth have heard and believed the gospel. In a sense, these believers have heard the judgment, as it were, in their case. They believe the message. They have been accepted with God. But the others will be judged by a supreme judge. And Peter says, God will judge the living and the dead. But those who accepted the message of Christ will be with God. They are God's. So why is it important for Peter to write this? We have to again remember the fact that these people were believers scattered running for their lives. It is an encouragement for them to understand, to be reminded that because they've chosen God, they belong to God. The emphasis here is not on the earthly life, but on the connection with God, which is to be followed. So Peter says, life with Christ in human body, life eternal with Christ in the spirit, after this earthly body passes away. So coming to the end of this message this morning, I don't know at which stage you're on. Everybody's on. Maybe you have said enough many years ago. Maybe there was a point in your life when you decided it's enough of that old life. Maybe today is the time when you say enough. Maybe today you turn a page and you start a new life with Christ. I encourage you to do that. Maybe you've allowed everything around to shout so much into your ears that the will of God has become blurred and you're confused. You're wandering aimlessly through life, seeking ephemeral satisfactions, just trying to get a good kick out of life. Today I call you to end this aimless wonder. Jesus tells a parable, a very good parable of the sower. And in this parable, the sower sows seeds on different types of grounds. There are some people whose soil is not so good. They are identified with the aimless wanderers, attracted by this and that, influenced by this and that, subject to changes of one type or another. So of these people, Jesus says in Mark 4, verses 18 and 19, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life. Is there worries for life today in your mind, in your heart? Deceitfulness of wealth. Are we yearning to see more zeros? And the desires for other things. What desires do we have? Today is the time to identify these desires because it's important. They influence the word. Jesus goes on to say, they choke the word, making it unfruitful. Maybe this is you. You're aimlessly wandering between desires and influences and fears and wealth and all this and all that, turning corners as the new trend in society dictates. Do not let the worries of life bring you down and separate you from the gospel. Do not. Defeat this through the encouraging news of the gospel. And embrace God's attitude, assume God's will for your life, and live it as an example of the power of the gospel evident in you. John 5:24, tells us of the words of Jesus Christ, an encouragement for us. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed from death to life. Funny thing this, you die to yourself, you live to Christ, and you cross from death to life. In order to have the full life, you have to die to yourself, to deny, to say enough, this is it. So what I'd like us to do in the next few moments is to pray. Just let the Spirit speak to us over what we've heard so far. Let's identify in which areas of our lives it is today the time to say enough. Let us identify any sinful desires in our lives. Let us identify anything that is against, contradicting, opposing the will of God for us. Let us identify anything that is against the attitude and the example of Jesus Christ in our life. And let today be the day we say enough. There is only one weapon that I choose today. I will arm myself today with the example of Jesus Christ, because there is power. Jesus Christ said, all authority has been given to me. When we embrace this example into our lives, when we imitate it into our lives, power is given to us as well. So let us spend a few moments in prayer. And it's a silent prayer, so be honest with God. Be honest with God. Be open, be transparent with what's going on in your life. Paul tells the Corinthians that there are weapons to be taken on for the fight, but they're not conventional weapons. On the contrary, he says in 2 Corinthians, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. So why don't you this morning identify the strongholds in your life? These citadels that the devil has raised in your life to try to control you through sinful nature, through selfish desires, narcissistic attitudes, identity. God can give you divine powers to demolish these. We demolish arguments at every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. So why don't you today say, God, I want to know more of you. Let us pray, God, we want you to reveal to us more of you. We want to see more of Jesus. We want to imitate more of him into our lives. And Lord, we take every thought and make it captive. Make it obedient to Christ. Yes, Lord Jesus, we have come to understand. And we believe that all power and authority has been given to you. we identify ourselves as Christians, those of Christ. But Lord, today we must say that there are strongholds in our lives. Maybe today we admit that we have not imitated you completely. Lord, maybe there are some hearing this message today who have decided to leave the past door open, and the things of the past still haunt them today. They are still happening in the present. The past is not a done story, a finished story in their lives. Lord, today we say enough in Jesus' name. We say enough for Jesus' sake. We say enough because today we want to start taking on the attitude of Jesus Christ, the mind of Jesus Christ, the example of Jesus Christ. We know we are in a human body which tends and desires sinful things and sinful acts. But Lord, we take courage from your example, who in the years left in this earthly life, you have not given yourself to sinful desires. So we ask for your strength to strengthen us. We ask for your example to be imitated in our lives. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.